Lord Jesus, your name is worthy to be worshipped and praised. You are holy. You are above all. You are our healer, our redeemer, the one for whom we long, the one for whom we wait and watch for. Lord Jesus, we pray that our eyes would be open to you as we come and sit with your word this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be taking your word, planting it in our hearts and our lives, that it would spring forth, that it would grow, bear fruit for you. Open your word to us now, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We'll be looking at Luke 2, the passage we just heard this morning. As you turn to that in your bulletin or open up your Bibles to that, did anyone else come down with a pretty bad case of the post-Christmas blues this week? Or you're all still suffering right now, maybe? I don't know. Anyone else experience that, kind of the letdown after Christmas, the letdown after the highs, after the busyness of going, having nights full every single night, it seems, for a month or two straight, of getting ready, getting your house cleaned, and having guests, having family and friends over, the excitement, the joy of Christmas morning. Anyone else feel let down? No, maybe just me. I don't know. Well, it hit pretty hard in our house this week. It was Boxing Day, and Cassie was already itching to take the tree down. I didn't let her. It's still up. Don't worry. Kids were kind of mopey. It started Christmas Day already, I think, not knowing what to do. That excitement, that anticipation, that looking forward to Christmas coming was over, and it hit pretty hard. Not much motivation to do much of anything. Hard to get out of bed. Didn't want to go to work this week if you had to work. I think that's kind of normal. At least I hope it's normal. It's kind of normal to experience that after you know, periods of intense emotion, of high, experiencing incredible highs, of periods of busyness. You farmers know that well after seeding and harvest, right? Kind of that letdown of, now what do I do? Now what? It's normal after the high of Christmas, of busyness, of people, of having that end date, that end goal in mind. You've met it, and now what? Now what? But I think some of that too is perhaps maybe you have a twinge of disappointment. A little bit of disappointment. I'm not just talking about what was or wasn't under the tree. You know, that little box that you were hoping was jewelry was actually nuts and bolts for something that you need or whatever, I don't know. Don't worry, that didn't happen in our house. Right, I'm not just talking about kind of disappointment of what you didn't get or what you were hoping you'd get. Kind of the disappointment, maybe the feeling that this year would be different. That maybe a close friend or a family member you haven't heard from for a long time would maybe show up or at least call. Maybe that feeling that, you know, maybe God would do something different. You know, we talk so much leading up to Christmas of God doing something new, of God coming. And we had our hopes, our minds, our hearts set on maybe a sickness you're battling, being healed, being made better. Maybe a loved one nearing their end. You long for them to be out of their pain, out of their misery. Maybe you feel a little let down, a little disappointed by God. Again, just kind of like the post-Christmas blues, I think that can be a common human experience. A common experience. we hear, we're reminded in our reading from Luke today that we're not alone. We're not alone in people waiting, watching, anticipating, thinking God is going to act in one way or a certain way. I'm just going to look briefly here at these two people that we meet in Luke chapter 2. First, we're introduced to Simeon. We're introduced to Simeon. This all takes place at the temple. That was what that reading from the Old Testament from Exodus was all about if you were having trouble. It was customary for Jewish people to come and bring their firstborn son to present them to the Lord as a reminder of what God had done for his people. Because what did God do with the firstborns way back in the Exodus? What did he do? Do you remember what was significant in that story? I'm not going to let you fall asleep after this Christmas slump here. He saved the firstborns, right? The firstborns of the Israelites, right? And ever since then, the firstborn is important. Important in the life of God's people, remembering, marking, reminding them what God had done. And so that's why Mary and Joseph and Jesus come to the temple. That's why they're there in Jerusalem. They're there to mark, to remember, to recall God's faithfulness, to recall God's deliverance, his rescue in Egypt. And as they come to the temple, they meet these two people. First, again, Simeon. Simeon, we're not told much about him, just a few things. Simeon is called righteous and devout, kind of like a very spiritual person. He's there. He's the guy that you want at the temple. He's the guy that you want to meet at the temple. He's righteous. He's devout. And it says that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. We'll get back to that word consolation in a little bit. But to help us process it a little bit, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, it says that Simeon lived in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. Simeon lived in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. So he's righteous, he's devout, he's waiting for the consolation, he's prayerfully expectant for God to rescue Israel. And thirdly, we see that he's full of the Holy Spirit. That's mentioned a couple of times. And we should pay attention to that. We should pay attention to this. Because it's notable because this happens before Pentecost. This happens before the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people, on all believers, before the presence of God came to dwell intimately, closely with each of us, with all those who call on God and believe in him. See, before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit makes appearances, but throughout the Old Testament, it's only for times and places. It only rests on particular people for particular instances. And here we see Simeon twice, it says, that he was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed to him what God would do. That's Simeon. Next we meet Anna, notable for being very old. Notable for being very old. It says 84 in the reading. Some of you have beat that. Notable for living to a ripe old age, especially at that point. But what we also notice about her is her character. She's described as being worshipful, worshipful. She's at the temple. That's where she spends her days and nights. It's where she spends her time. So she's fasting and praying, waiting, watching for the redemption of Jerusalem. I think we have here, and that's one of the reasons why I emphasize Anna being very old at 84. Not trying to rub it in anyone. But that's one of the reasons why I emphasize, because if there was anybody who should have given up hope, it would be these people who had given themselves, devoted themselves for so many years to worshiping God, to waiting for God, to hearing God's promise that he was coming, that he would come and rescue his people, that he would come and deliver them. If there's anybody who would give up hope, it should be them. Maybe you find yourself again kind of giving up hope that God actually isn't going to do what you hope, what you need, what you long for. I think that's really easy and tempting to do in our world that we live in, right? Because we live in a results-based world. If we don't get instant results from trying something, we move on to the next thing right away, right? Here we have people who waiting, watching, anticipating for many, many, many years. But they didn't give up. They didn't give up. They're sustained by the Lord. They're sustained by the Lord. Simeon, again, he was given the Holy Spirit. He saw what God would do. Anna was sustained in worship in the presence of God day by day. So again, I ask you, have you given up hope? Have you given up hope of God's coming to you, to rescue you, to heal you, to redeem you, to make himself real to you? Don't. Don't give up hope. It's a message that we see in Simeon and Anna. And not just kind of like a rah-rah pep rally kind of thing that, oh yeah, God's going to do something new. You kind of hear that repeated over and over again and then kind of get let down, it seems, time and again. Not just a pep rally, yeah, God's going to do something new. But we hear in God's word, we hear and see in these people, in their hearts and their lives, that God is doing something new. And really the greatest reminder for us at Christmas is that God has already done something new for us in our hearts and our lives. In fact, the greatest new thing that he ever could have done. Do you realize that? That's what we celebrate at Christmas, at Easter. We celebrate all the points of what Jesus has done. God has already done the greatest thing he can for you and for me. He has come to us. He has come to give us life now and forever. We often forget about that. The pressing needs and the current situations drown out that. But that is the greatest thing God could ever do, is to offer us salvation, to offer us life in him. God has done something new, but he continues to do new in our hearts and our lives day by day. He continues to do something new. And that's where that word consolation, I said we were going to come back to it. That's where that word consolation really comes in and speaks to us. It says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Greek word there is paraklesis. Say it with me, paraklesis. Some aren't even going to bother with that. Okay, here I am trying to teach you a new language, but the Greek word there is paraklesis, which literally, it means a lifting of another's spirit. The lifting of another's spirit, or emboldening another in belief. The lifting of another's spirit, or emboldening in belief. The reason why I draw this out and point this out is because it's the very same word that John uses in his gospel for the Holy Spirit. Many times in John's gospel, Jesus promises a helper, a comforter, one to come alongside. That's the consolation of Israel. That's the help, the expectancy of what Simeon was looking for. It's God's presence. That's who the Holy Spirit is right now, is God's presence to us. comforter, this encourager. God's coming near, his presence with us. And we have Simeon and Anna recognizing this greatest gift, this greatest of God's act in their presence. Simeon breaks down into song in verses 29 and following. He says, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And Anna too, a similar response as she sees the promised savior of the people come near to her. Verse 38, it says, "Coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel." They worship God because they see, they know that their encourager, their encouragement, their hope, their comforter, their helper has come. Their encouragement has come in Jesus. The very same one that comes to us to encourage us, to walk with us, and to be with us. Simeon and Anna lived with their eyes open, waiting, watching, anticipating this one. I think too often we live kind of with eyes half open or eyes closed, that we don't always see the ways that God is at work in our lives already, ways that he's already bringing us encouragement, you know, those new things that he's doing in us. How has God come to encourage you? How has God been at work in your heart, your life? That's a question we need to keep asking each other. How has God brought encouragement to you? How has God been your helper? We need to be asking because we don't always pay attention. We don't always notice. We're encouraged to be like Simeon and Anna, to be living with our eyes wide open, to be people who are filled with worship and praise when God does do that new thing in us, in our hearts and our lives. It says that he comes as an encouragement, a helper for many. But there's also a warning here. Simeon says, he prophesies, he says to Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." He gives a warning that even though Jesus came, that the whole world might have this encouragement, this rescue, this deliverer. Even though Jesus came for us all, for this whole world, there's some who will reject him, some who will oppose him, will stand in his way, will oppose what he is trying to do in this world, what he's trying to do in our lives. It's a warning not to do that, not to stand opposed to Jesus, not to reject what the Holy Spirit is doing. So if you're feeling let down, disappointed today, this week, let down by God, let down by the situations, the circumstances in your life, can I encourage you and remind you, first of all, with this greatest gift, this greatest act that God has done for you, the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ coming near to us, the gift of life, and really all that it entails. That even though we go through hardships and struggles, even though we feel down and depressed some days, that doesn't mean God has abandoned us. It's a reminder that God, though, is still near to us. He's still working in us. He still wants to do that new thing in us. Because Simeon and Anna, it doesn't say they went out searching for this encourager, for this one that was to come to redeem Israel. He came to them. He came to them and they received him. Have you welcomed the encourager? Have you welcomed the encourager of your faith? Have you received him? Is he yours? As we close our time together this morning, let's close with a word of prayer. And pray especially, we'll leave some time for you to pray and just sit and receive, maybe for the first time, maybe again, to receive the encourager, to receive this gift of salvation, to receive Jesus, his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Fathers, we've been reminded so often throughout Advent and Christmas, we're reminded that you have come to us, that you have not forsaken us, you have not abandoned us. Even though there's times that it's tempting to give up hope. We pray that we would live with our eyes wide open, watching, sensing, knowing your work in our lives. We pray, Lord Jesus, especially today for those who are in need of encouragement, of consolation, of souls and spirits to be lifted up, that you would be that to them, that you would be their comfort, that you would be their strength, that you would be their peace. Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus to this world to be that for the whole world, the rescue, the redemption from sin, the gift of life to us all. We pray today that we would experience, that we would receive for the first time or perhaps again a filling of your Holy Spirit, the gift of life as you've called us and meant us to live. A life of encouragement, a life of hope, a life of worship and thanksgiving for who you are, that you never fail us, that you never abandon us, you never leave us alone, but that you are always near to us. So we pray once again, Holy Spirit, that you would be opening our eyes, our hearts, to receive again you as our encourager, the consolation of your people, the consolation of this world. We pray that we'd be a prayerfully expectant people of all that you have in store for us now and for eternity. Lord Jesus, we receive you with open hands, open arms, open hearts, open lives. Come once again to us. Amen.